When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. We lost Jerry some time ago, but this remains, as always, Stuff You Should Know, because Jerry's here in spirit. I can tell you that.
Jerry's alive. Smeller. Okay. That sounded very ominous.
It totally did, now that you mention it.
We lost Jerry. She's here in spirit. No, Jerry's alive.
She may not have ever existed. Who knows? It's all one big weird dream, right?
Yeah. Did you see what I titled this episode, by the way?
No, I haven't looked yet.
Bidets, colon, now more than ever.
That's great. Good job, man, because that is true. Having a bidet right now can really keep you out of the rat race to find toilet paper.
Dude, the first, because, you know, I used to have one of the toilet attachments and it got lost in the renovation and move. Mm-hmm. And I kind of forgot about it. And the very first thing I did when I heard about this toilet paper surge was get online and buy another one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. We had just happened to get one for our other bathroom. Right before all this happened. So we're all set on the rear situation with the water application.
Clean bottoms.
Yeah, I was raised a toilet paper guy.
Oh, of course.
And I know how you feel about that.
Middle class kids.
Every once in a while, though, I'll remember in our toilet paper episode, you went, I'm just going to come out and say it, using paper to wipe your bottom with, and that's it, is just gross, gross, gross.
It is. Dry paper.
And Like seriously, I hear that in my head a lot. It's hilarious. But to me, that to me is like, okay, this makes sense. This feels normal. And I've gotten used to a bidet. But even still, like, I'm using a little bit of toilet paper there too. Also, we should probably say this episode is chock full of TMI. So just buckle in for that. But yes, if I use a bidet, I still use a little bit of toilet paper. And the thing that I think got me out of all of this, Chuck, just want to say up front, is the science is still out on which one actually is more beneficial for you health-wise.
There are people saying toilet paper is.
Yeah, I've seen it. And I think this is what I suspect. Because there is such a dearth of studies on this, and some of the studies that have been done are showing mixed results, that it basically depends on how your doctor or whoever you're asking feels about toilet paper or bidets. That's what they're going to recommend.
Your doctor or whoever, like the bus driver?
My doctor drives a bus too, yes, but these are hard times.
All right, so we're talking about bidets, which is, if you don't know what this is, you have been living under a rock. But for a lot of Americans, and we'll get to why Americans haven't been hip to them a bit later, but some Americans still might not be hip to these. A bidet is a little, and they can be different things, but the kind of classic modern bidet looks like another little toilet installed beside your toilet or near your toilet.
Not quite right, though. There's something you can't put your finger on that ain't quite right about that toilet.
Yeah, like if you walked into a room and you never seen one before, you wouldn't be like, well, there's one for pooping and one for peeing.
Yeah, that I think that definitely does cross your mind. Either that or else you go, oh, girl.
But there are different ways that you can have these modern bidets. Some of them have little water streams that squirt up. Some of them have a little, like a shower handle. Mm-hmm. But the long and short of it is, it's another appliance in your bathroom with water in a little basin that you straddle after you do your business and clean yourself up with water instead of dry toilet paper.
That's the classic bidet, right?
Yes, the classic bidet, not the bidet of olden days.
No. Should we talk about the other types or go back to the olden days now?
Let's go back to the olden days and we'll catch up again.
All right. That's a little tease, everybody. We're going to talk about other types of bidets eventually.
Yeah. And I didn't see exactly. I saw anywhere from late 1600s to early 1700s.
Yeah.
But definitely European. And the first bidets, the word means pony or cob, which is a kind of a short little short-legged strong horse.
Yeah. And at the time, the French were crazy about those kinds of horses.
Yeah, and apparently that has something to do with how you're supposed to use it. I still don't fully follow that.
So, like, these original bidets, it looked like a little kind of mini bathtub, but it also had something like a saddle shape, and you squatted over it like you would, almost like you were riding, like, a little cob horse.
Okay, all right. Well, that makes a little bit of sense, I guess.
And it also had, like, four legs coming out of the body. It did, you know, if you think about it, it kind of makes sense that it looks like a little tiny horse without the top half or a head or a neck or ears or a mane or a tail or hooves. Yeah. But other than all that, it's the spitting image of a cob horse.
Yeah, I think they looked a little more like Ottomans with a little chamber pot in the center.
Yes, but Ottomans came from the Turks, and the French probably hated the Turks at the time because, you know, that was geopolitics, so they would have never made that comparison, even though it was like this great elephant in the room.
That's right. But these things were in the bedroom in France in the early 1700s next to the chamber pot. And the very idea of pooping and peeing in your bedroom was pretty new. Like the outhouse was, I mean, you still had an outhouse, but from what I saw, chamber pots and bidets were for nighttime business, like when, so you don't have to leave your bedroom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of sweet if you think about it. It's luxurious to just poop and pee in your bedroom, especially on a cold night. But eventually people were like, well, there's a lot of cholera around. There's a lot of typhoid. We should probably move these to a separate room. And eventually they did.
And they called those bathrooms.
Yeah, or restrooms, or toilets.
Or WCs.
Or poop stationvilles.
Or loos.
Oh, I've got one for you. I wanted to say this in the last episode we recorded, the wastewater episode.
All right, let's hear it.
So, you know the word loo means bathroom or toilet in the UK at least, if not more. And they think, so when we were in Edinburgh doing those shows, remember you took a nap and I got all bored, so I went and walked around the city by myself?
Okay.
Well, I went to old time Edinburgh, like old time, like 17,
I went there
16.
Too. Don't make me up to be just some napper.
I must have been napping when you went, because I don't know why you wouldn't have just gone with me when I tried to wake you up. But regardless, on this tour, maybe you'll remember this, the tour guide said that they think the word loo came from the Scottish people saying "Gardy loo" when they threw their waste water out into the streets.
Oh, yeah,
like
that's
they would shout "Gardy loo," and they think that "Gardy loo" came from "Garde de l'eau," which means "watch the water" in
nice.
French. And so they think that "Gardy loo" came from "watch the water," and then "loo" came from "Gardy loo," and then that's where we got that term for the toilet in the UK.
I love that. That's one for your next dinner party.
Oh, I cannot tell you how many dinner parties I busted that out at.
So bidets, back to the bidet, they are or were more of a high society thing. Like, you know, you were using an outhouse if you weren't, I don't know, necessarily aristocracy, but you had to be like middle and upper class to have a bidet in your bedroom or in your house and probably a chamber pot even for that matter.
Well, for a couple of reasons, too. I think, one, you typically had servants who were going to take it away for you. That's number one.
Yeah, you got to change that thing.
Number two, right. And the number two, you know, if this bidet is basically just a wash basin with water, they didn't have running water at the time, which meant you had to haul water. So you probably had a servant hauling water for you as well. So, yeah, you were probably this thing that was like a luxury to the rest of the world was just nothing to you because you didn't have to do anything. You just used it. You didn't have to do any prep or takeaway or anything like that.
That's right. And they don't know for sure who invented it, but this dude, Christophe de Rozier, made one for the French royal family in 1710. A lot of people point to him as being the inventor of the bidet. Didn't take long, you know, within the next 30 or 40 years or so, they started having things like little hand pumps so you could kind of have a little rudimentary spraying device to help yourself out.
That's nice.
It is nice.
It is. I mean, because prior to this, it was just, again, a wash basin that you would straddle and just kind of flip it up onto your underside, your fanny, as it were. With your hand. And eventually that water comes back down and mixes with the water you're flipping up, and you reach some critical point, tipping point, as Malcolm Gladwell would put it.
Yeah.
And now you're just flipping poop water up onto your nether regions, and no longer helpful. So the idea that you could just sit there and spray a pump, a stream of water on there, and not have to just flick the stuff out of the basin onto you, that's an enormous advancement. And it came along pretty early, I think the 1750s, right?
Yeah, that's about when the little spray thing came along.
That's beautiful. And, Chuck, one other thing, too. I think about the same time that pump handle came along, they also installed like a refillable tank. So you fill the water with tank, and everything that was in the basin was all just wastewater. So you were good to go by 1750 as far as bidets were concerned.
Yes, everything was totally clean and totally safe by 1750.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
So these were big, obviously, in Europe. They spread. Italy and Portugal were really big on the bidet, still are.
I saw Italy may have been the actual inventors of them, and that the French possibly just popularized it.
I could see that.
Yeah.
The French, they steal everything.
They did, but at the same time, they were a superpower at the time, and they were also basically global tastemakers. So once they got into bidets, the rest of the world followed suit pretty quickly, or most of the rest of the world.
Not if you were England or America. You probably went, no, thank you, Frenchman.
Yeah.
South America, Argentina, Venezuela, they're pretty popular. In the Middle East, and of course, Asia and Japan very much leads the way in not only bidet use, but bidet technology these days.
Yeah, it's a classic example of what I've talked about before. The Japanese say, oh, I really like this invention. We can improve it by 130%, so let's do that. And that's exactly what they did.
That's a good Japanese accent.
Thanks. I added a little vocal fry there at the end to make it particularly confusing.
So maybe let's take a quick break, go clean our vomits, as my daughter says, and we will talk about what's the deal with America and why we hate cleaning our buttholes the right way, right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Chuck, you were talking about buttholes, I believe, before the break. Let's pick up where you left off.
Yeah. What's up, America? Why don't you clean your butthole the right way?
I thought this was pretty interesting. There's a guy who I guess is a bidet expert who is speaking with the New York Times, and we happened to overhear it. He had some theories about why America didn't like bidets. And one you kind of touched on before, which was that England hated France at the time. They were rival world superpowers, much akin to America and the United States during the Cold War, or I mean in the USSR, America, USSR,
yes.
Draco versus Rocky,
right.
During the Cold War, right? So the English hated everything associated with the French, and they would just have never gone for bidets. But that seems to have carried over into the colonies like America, which is a pretty good theory for why Americans have never adopted bidets.
Yeah, and those were, you know, in the early days of non-adoption. World War II happened, and this is this sounded kind of like I wasn't sure I believed this at first, but then I saw it in a different way in a bunch of different places, so I do believe it.
Yeah,
but apparently American soldiers would go to brothels in Europe and in Japan, and depending on what theater of war you were stationed at, and you would see these bidets. And you would associate it, and there were a few different things going on. You might associate it with sex work and think, ooh, gross. At the time, there were people that thought using a bidet after sex could be a contraceptive practice. Not true at all.
Well, yeah, they thought that douching was a reliable contraceptive practice. And it wasn't until like the 20s or 30s where it was proven basically indisputably that, no, it basically does absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
But the idea that you would use the bidet to do that kind of further associated it with sex work as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing, which is incredibly sexist and maybe throw in just a dash of misogyny, is that women on their period, it hasn't been that long that women have been able to get products to deal with that and to talk about it as if it were just a normal thing that happens to the human body. It was very much under the table. I think we should do something, man, if we dare go down that road on
springtime flower blossom episode.
Well, I was thinking maybe a shorty just on like tampons and maxi pads and the development of those things, because it took way too long for the awful, awful reason that manufacturers just didn't want anything to do with that.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I'm down.
All right, well, let's do it. But menstruation had a lot to do with bidets not being used in America, because no one wanted to talk about menstruation for a long, long time.
So you've got GIs returning from overseas where they visited brothels and aren't particularly looking forward to introducing their wives to bidets because they associate them with sex work. They're also really useful for menstruation, which wasn't talked about at the time. And then they remind everybody of the king of France, who everybody hated. And you put those three things together, that makes it really difficult to market in America. And so they think that one or all of those reasons are why Americans never really got into bidets. Not until the Japanese said, hey, everybody, check this out. But we'll get to that not quite yet.
Yeah. another reason, and this was mentioned as a chicken or the egg thing, I personally think, because the idea is that American bathrooms aren't big enough for this extra thing in there. Mm-hmm. But I think had we adopted it to begin with, we would have made our bathrooms a little bigger to fit these things, personally.
For sure. Don't totally. You? Because, I mean, our bathrooms are enormous now, and they could totally fit a bidet. But if you look at most bathrooms, say like a master bath in a suburban house, like the bathroom's big, but the toilet's still small, the little toilet area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we totally would have expanded our bathrooms to allow it. I think we just didn't need to have bigger bathrooms because we didn't have it. So I say disdain for bidet led to smaller bathrooms rather than vice versa. Where do you fall?
Yeah, I agree. I'm kind of mad because this was my chance when we renovated our house to put a real deal bidet in there.
And would you want one?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. But like, you know, like you said, our toilet is wedged in a little zone, like all toilets. Right. Like we could have made our shower smaller and stuck a bidet next to it, I guess.
I can see you like dropping your highlighter while you were researching this article, like when it struck you, like, oh my God, I missed my chance.
Interestingly, though, the kind of one of the bigger bidet models that was popularized around the world was invented by an American named Arnold Cohen in the 1960s.
Yes, dude. So I had no idea about this, but the bidet seat that you use, that I use, that basically all Americans are starting to be like, hey, this is kind of awesome, that everybody in Japan uses, mm-hmm. that a lot of people around the world use today, was invented by a guy named Arnold Cohen in the 1960s in the United States.
Mr.
Had
Bidet.
No idea. Yeah, I also saw him referred to as the Bidet King.
Yeah, man, and God bless this guy. He tried his best. He created this thing for his dad, who was older and not doing too well, and we'll talk about medical benefits here in a minute. But if you have a rash back there, if you have a hemorrhoid or an anal fissure or something like that, there is some research, like you said, not enough, but some research that shows that a bidet can really be helpful if you have one of those conditions, and his dad did. So he was a former ad guy. He tried his best, and it just didn't quite work out in America for Arnold Cohen.
Yeah, he created a model called the American Sitz Bath, S-I-T-Z bath.
Which is weird because it's not a sitz bath.
No, and there are sitz baths now, and I don't know if they predated it and he just kind of adopted that or what, but he basically took a toilet seat and modified it, added a foot pump to pump water under your bum with. He went to trade shows. He tried to market it as much as he could. And he also was very much ahead of his time. And that, and again, this is the 1960s, and he was still a young man at the time, that he was trying to – he saw that it was a problem how much toilet paper Americans use.
Yeah.
That was one of his driving forces in addition to trying to come up with something that could help people like his dad who are suffering from rectal issues. And he said – I think one of his quotes was, nobody wants to hear about tushy washing 101.
Yeah.
It's just too difficult to market.
I know.
And so he kind of, he gave up, I guess, to an extent. And I guess sometime in the 70s, he either approached a company called Toto, which stands for Toyo Toki, or Oriental Ceramics in Japanese, or they approached him, and they licensed his concept and kind of tinkered with it, made it better, made it much more automated, made it electronic. And they debuted the washlet in 1980 in Japan. And it took a little like getting used to over there as well. But in very short order, the Japanese kind of clomped onto it and it became like part of their culture as much as like...
Sushi?
Sure.
Great.
Sure.
We did a great episode on sushi.
We did. I was also going to say chopsticks, anime, cuteness, who knows?
Maple trees.
There's a lot of stuff you could say. Sure, maple, Japanese maples.
I got a couple of those.
Yeah, they're beautiful, man. Do you have the kind of like sweeping, spreading kind or the upright kind?
I have one of my favorite ones are the small, low spreaders, and mm-hmm. I got a couple of those. I don't think they're going to be huge, but the way I have them in our garden is just very lovely. It's one of my favorite
that is
trees.
Nice. Yeah, you don't want them to be huge when they're like that because they're supposed to be kind of subtle, understated, and like low growing, you know?
Yeah, boy, there's one around the corner for me that I have Japanese maple envy in a big way. it looks like a 12-foot umbrella that's about 4 feet off the ground.
Wow.
It's just gorgeous. Amazing. Yeah.
I'll bet it's old.
Yeah, it's got to be. I just want to sit in it every time I go by their yard.
You could probably lay under it and just... tickle it.
Did I say sit under it or sit in it?
You said sit in it.
Yeah, I meant sit under it.
Okay. You're going to be the weird neighbor who just sits in people's yards?
Maybe.
I've wanted to do that so many times, and I just, you know, I know you can't do it, especially as a grown adult.
So what kind of bidet do you have? You don't have to buzz market, but I got kind of one of the, like a $75 model, but I know that go under your existing toilet seat. Mm-hmm. But I know that some of these Japanese models, it's actually part of the toilet seat and has dryers and they talk to you and all that good stuff.
I will buzz, buzz, buzz because I love mine. I have two Toto washlets.
Okay.
And they, it's not like the highest end one where like you stand up and it flushes automatically or it talks to you or has lights. They have some that have like UV lights built in. So when the lid's shut, it like kills everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a good washlet. It has like a heated seat and everything. And like it's just wonderful to have. It's just really
and
nice.
And that's the one where it, the seat is part of the unit, right?
Yeah, like the whole thing replaces your toilet seat. And there's like a big kind of bulky contraption in back that I think is like a water tank and where all like the machinations are. But it's like you take your old toilet seat and you throw it out the window.
Into your neighbor's yard under their yep, Japanese maple.
Yep, next to your old spare tires and dead possums. And you replace it with this one, you know, bidet toilet seat. You connect it to the water supply and then you plug it in. And there you have it.
I'm looking at this thing now. I kind of want to get one, but I don't have a power outlet over there.
That can be a problem. So you have to. That's like an added cost a lot of the times, unless you're comfortable with just having like an extension cord and surge protector or something.
Which
I'm not. Is fine. It's not the end of the world. But if you're not, then yes, you need to have an electrician come put a power outlet next to your.
I really missed
water
the boat.
Supply. Yeah, yeah. Because you could have done that when you're doing the.
Could have done that.
Too. I'm sorry, boy. I didn't warn you.
No, that's all right. So I guess since we're talking about bidet seats, I guess we should talk about the cheaper ones. You can get them for like anywhere from $30 to $50. And like we said, that goes under your seat. And you have a little control device on the side of your toilet seat that you just turn on the spray and it shoots mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. It's cold water unless you have the means to hook it up to warm water. But ours is cold water, so... You know, it's a little bit of a wake you up in the morning, you know?
Yeah, I'll bet.
Is yours warm, I guess?
Yes, it is. It's warm. The seat's warm. It's just beautiful.
I just want to poop at your house now.
You can come over and use it anytime you want because I know you pee sitting down, so you're A-okay in my book. But these washlets, so get this, man. The washlet, when it was introduced in 1980, and the washlet is like, I don't know what you'd call it, but they took Let's Wash and turned it into the washlet when okay. they released it. But as of 2007, Toto had sold 17 million of these worldwide since about 1980. It is amazing. As of 2009, 12 years after that, it was 50 million.
Wow.
They sold 10 million since 2016. 2019 was 50 million. 2016 was 40 million. So... At some point along the way, a big portion of the world said, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it and I'm going to get one because the sales have taken off even before this coronavirus shut-in toilet paper run that we're experiencing in America.
Yeah, I wonder, I was going to say if they had like a counter that said like 50 million clean buttholes, but there's more than that because you have two buttholes in your house.
Right, exactly.
You
so,
know?
I mean... That's one of the things that people point to is like, well, you know, there's a cost savings. If this thing lasts long enough, it'll eventually pay for itself in savings from having to buy toilet paper.
Yeah, and we'll get to the waste in toilet paper, but that is a problem.
Yeah, yeah, because even if the cost thing doesn't quite work out, you are still, you know, it's coming close to breaking even. It's not like a complete waste of money. But also money aside... Ecologically, it's probably a much better thing than toilet paper by any measure, any metric.
All right. Well, should we take another break?
I think so.
All right. Let's take another break, and we'll, believe it or not, we're going to tell you how to use these things right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Chuck, so I teased it earlier. I think we should start with this third act by talking about the different kinds of bidets. We've already talked about two, right?
Yeah.
There's the little cob horse bidet that looks like a tiny bathtub next to your toilet. There's the washlet is a brand name, but it's almost become a proprietary eponym. It's so
widespread?
Yes. But that's also called the bidet seat that you replace your toilet seat with. And then the third type is a hose that looks like, you know, the dishwashing hose that you have like as coming out of your kitchen sink.
Yeah.
If it's like 1985, that, but next to your toilet, that's the third kind of bidet. It's called like a wall mounted showerhead bidet.
Yeah. I don't think these are nearly as common. Are they?
I didn't get that impression either, but when I looked it up, a lot of different images came up on Google Image.
I don't even want to do that. All right, so can we talk about how we use these things?
Yes, but I just want to say one more time. Mm-hmm. I'm thoroughly engrossed by the wall-mounted showerhead bidet.
Okay.
You have to see one of these sometime.
I've seen pictures. I just haven't seen them in person.
Okay, I got you. Neither have I, but I spend a good hour like staring at pictures of these things and imagining, you know?
Sure, all the possibilities.
Okay. So go ahead.
I think this part, I cobbled this together from a bunch of sources from The Atlantic, from How Stuff Works, I think New York Times, but
Mental Floss, I think was
it? Yeah, Mental Floss. And I think this came from How Stuff Works, the step-by-step for how to use a bidet.
Nice.
And the first step, they say, is locate the bidet.
That is a good first step.
I can't believe they put that in there. I thought that was very funny.
Actually, technically, their first step, if you're going by bullet points, was use the toilet as you normally do.
Sure.
Both for urination and for defecation. That's step one as far as the editors of How Stuff Works is concerned.
Oh, that is really funny. Yes, and actually they do point out in that step one that whether or not you wipe a little with toilet paper first, I wouldn't do that. I would, and how I do it is I wet my bum first with a good spray, and then I use just a little bit of toilet paper. And that's the great thing is you're not using nearly as much. You can just use a few squares to kind of just make sure everything's cleaned up and dry if you don't have a fancy pants dryer like yours.
Yeah, I've found that the dryer takes so long that I don't have the patience for it.
No, who does?
You know, crazy psychos, maybe.
Unless you're, got a good book or something.
Sure. An Uncle John's bathroom reader. That would do it. That would keep me on the can long enough to air dry with the blow dryer.
Or a little book coming this fall.
Oh, yes. Shall we plug it?
I think it's a great time to plug our book.
It's called Stuff You Should Know, An Incomplete Compendium of Mostly Interesting Things.
That's right. Coming to bookstores this fall. You can pre-order now. And I think all signs are still full bore ahead.
Yeah.
Even though we're in the midst of a global pandemic. In fact, hopefully they're thinking this is just what people need.
Yeah, and hopefully it is. And at the very least, it is guaranteed to keep you on the toilet until your legs go numb.
That's right. So, where
are we?
That's
an old George Carlin joke.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What, to sit on the toilet till your legs go numb?
No, he did he was talking about some game show and one of the contestants was introduced. One of her hobbies was sitting on the toilet until her legs went.
Really? Which is not good for you. They say, especially if you have hemorrhoids, it can make that a lot worse. So you're supposed to do your business and get off.
I could totally see that. You're also not supposed to like watch TV in bed. Bed's supposed to be for sleeping. So if you ever have trouble getting to sleep, they suggest that you like go read out on the couch until you start to get drowsy and then go to bed and fall asleep so that your body and your mind will start to associate bed strictly with doing your sleeping business.
I say poo-poo to that because I love watching TV in bed.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you. It's a nice little treat.
It's great. I get why people don't do it, but, I'm not one of those people.
Hey, to each his own, we always say, right?
That's
right. To each their own.
To each their own. All right, so I guess we're at medical. Oh, no, wait. We located the bidet.
Right, right.
You've done your
Step
business.
Two.
To me, the downside of having the separate bidet is you do your business, and then you got to get up and, like, remount another device. So,
yes.
Like, you've got it going on with your fancy pants washlet, I think.
I think that's why I was so surprised that you wanted a regular bidet, because there's, like, a whole drippy step moving from one to the other, you know? So, yeah.
Well, hopefully not.
I think when you get a washlet, you're not going to want a regular bidet any longer.
I can't get a washlet, dude. I don't have the power. I need that
outlet. You can hire an electrician to come run an outlet. It's very easy.
Oh, I know. No, I'm going to look into that. You're right.
Okay. You're going to love it, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay.
But does yours talk? I forgot.
No, it doesn't talk. That would be amazing. I've never seen a talking one except on The Simpsons.
Oh, well, maybe that's where I got it.
because there's that one that says, I am honored to accept your waste.
I think that's where I got it. Surely some of them talk, right?
Probably.
I think Japan is famous for talking appliances, right?
Sure. And just having like weird random stuff written on their appliances.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about that rice maker. I think you have the same one or one of the same versions. That thing makes all kinds of fun sounds.
Yeah, while we're talking about this stuff, let me say, Mike's Mighty Good Ramen.
It's good,
hooked
huh?
us up, dude.
Yeah.
That was so nice. Well, like, first of all, thank you for mentioning it because you got us hooked up big time.
I did not anticipate that much ramen coming.
No, like a box full of Mike's Mighty Good Ramen basically saying, hey, thanks for the shout out. So I had never tried it before, and it is really good stuff. And we have a bunch for free, which is nice because it also stores really well, too, during times like this.
Yeah, and I had already also purchased about $100 worth, and it all kind of came at once. So I have literally a big moving storage bin full of Mike's Mighty Good, and I eat it lunch every day. Today I had the vegetable coconut milk lemongrass, and it is delicious.
Yes, it is amazing. I think the beef is my favorite so far.
Oh, I love that spicy beef. Have you augmented yours yet?
No, I'm a novice still. I'm just kind of taking it little by little. But I saw that they have like a recipe card for suggesting how to kind of dress it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I usually just because it's a good quick meal to go and pretty low calorie, very low calorie. But the other day I did have some beef brisket and I minced that up really small and I cooked, I did a boiled egg and cut that thing in half and it was so good.
Man, that sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, we don't Buzz Market much, but it is delicious and they hooked us up. So thank you, Mike.
Yeah. And thank you also. The thing that made me think of it was the Zoji Rushi rice makers. Mm-hmm. They liked us talking about them, and they're like, hey, you guys want some, you want a thermos?
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice, too.
Maybe I'll get a washlet.
Yeah, Toto brand washlets are really great, Chuck. I can recommend them highly.
All right, so let's talk about medical uses. There, like you said, there hasn't been a ton of research, and there has been a little conflicting research, but a lot of doctors, GPs do say, and specialists, if you have colitis, if you have IBS, if you have Crohn's, if you have colon cancer, then a bidet seat might be right up your alley to help you out back there.
It will be. But also, Chuck, I just realized we never finished saying how to use the bidet.
Well, no. You squirt your butt.
Right.
And it said that you either could dry it, pat it dry, or have a dryer. What else is there?
We did make it through that. Wow, it just went so quickly. I think one of the things just I want to point out really, really, really quickly is that, like, the whole point of it is that you're using water to clean off your bottom in the exact same way that you would use toilet paper to clean off your bottom or your other bits, depending on if you have other bits down there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you put this?
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
I think you did a fine job.
Thank you very much. But, and some people prefer to use toilet paper to dry off, like it sounds like both of us do. Some people just air dry or they use the blower attachment or whatever. But, like, that's it. There's nothing more to it. I've read that some people use soap, which is crazy to me, but okay. And then some people, Chuck, I ran across this. They don't even use a bidet. If they poop, they take a shower afterward. Have you ever heard of anything like that before in your life?
No. I would say that's an extreme clean freak, germaphobe. Clean freak is probably not a nice way to say it, but there are
from
probably people
saw,
that have legit phobias about that stuff.
But from what I saw, there's a significant number of people, at least in the United States, who, like, you poop, you take a shower. That's just what you do after you poop.
Interesting. I would take 7 showers a day.
It'd be a water crisis just from you.
I know. What a waste.
So, well, yeah, that is a huge waste. And that's actually kind of a criticism of bidets is like, well, you're using water instead. But as we'll see in a little bit, you're using a resource one way or another down there. So
that's right.
There you go. But okay, so you were talking about medical issues. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I talked about all the ones dealing with your bottom, but apparently, and this is, I don't know how much research they've done on this, but apparently they can help out with UTIs as well if you get frequent UTIs.
Yes, and here's how. They suggest that if you are a woman, you use the bidet on your woman parts before and after sex, and that will help cut down on fecal bacteria entering your vagina and becoming part of your vaginal microflora, which can lead to UTIs.
Interesting.
I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
And guys, don't take offense.
Well, no.
You know?
I'm sure you can get a prostate infection from not keeping very clean down there.
No, I just mean, you know, if you make love then your girlfriend or wife jumps up and runs in there and cleans out real good. Just be a man about it.
Right. You should probably not take offense to that kind of thing.
Should we be talking about this?
Yeah. We haven't crossed the line yet.
Okay.
I think you established a new line in the student loans episode.
Oh yeah.
So I think we're well within that.
Well, my reasoning there is if there are any like elementary school kids listening to student loans, then they're little Alex P. Keatons. They can handle it.
Alex P. Keaton, man, what a great shout out there.
Yeah. What else here? If you're elderly and if you have arthritis or something, it's tough, man. If you you might just physically have a harder time wiping your bottom after you use the bathroom. And apparently as you age, one of the single biggest factors for staying independent, like you can still cook, you can still clean, you can still take care of yourself, but you might have a hard time wiping your bottom. You can still stay independent if you can get that bidet going.
Yes. And again, if you're sitting there like, just like, wait, what are you guys talking about? If you were raised on toilet paper, from what, there's a huge divide right now in the world. Apparently a good 3/4 to 3/4 of the world does not use toilet paper, or they use it much more sparingly and they use a bidet instead, mm-hmm. and they consider that clean. They consider using toilet paper unclean. And this whether toilet paper or bidets are clean or unclean is so culturally ingrained that it's almost unimaginable considering one cleaner than the other, depending on what you've been raised on. But that is the case. And they've done a lot of, well, they haven't done a lot of studies, but some of the studies they've done have shown like, yeah, this actually is cleaner, or no, this isn't as clean as you think. But one thing that really kind of stuck out to me, Chuck, was the idea that water alone can make you cleaner than wiping your bottom, which makes total sense if you step back and think about it, because mm-hmm. all you're doing is wiping paper on your bottom. But to me, it's like you're getting stuff out of there and you're getting it away, which I guess you're doing with water as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it with, I mean, like you said, they've done some studies and they have shown that it can ease some of these symptoms of anal fissures and hemorrhoids. There's something called itchy anus that it can help with. That mm-hmm. is a real thing. But there was also a study about 10 years ago in Japan that said if you use a warm water bidet, and if you are a woman, it can kind of jostle loose your microflora mm-hmm. in your vagina, and it can just kind of knock things out of whack down there, and it can lead to more vaginal bacterial infections.
Yeah, so in the study, it was like 268 women, and they found that normal microflora was not present in 43% of bidet users, and only 8% of non-users of bidets had normal microflora not present. That's pretty significant.
Totally.
And then of the 50 out of the 268 who had fecal bacteria present in their vaginal microflora, 46 of that 50 used bidets. So that was a really surprising thing to a lot of people, because they're like, no, this is clean.
Yeah.
This is way cleaner than using toilet paper. And this study suggests that that's not necessarily true.
Now, was that only for warm water, though?
From what I saw, yeah, it was okay. Warm water.
Yeah, use that cold water.
Sure. It really gets you up in the morning, like you said.
And then I guess finally, we're at the point where we talk about just toilet paper. We covered toilet paper in our episode on toilet paper. But mm-hmm. as a reminder, about 90% of toilet paper in the United States comes from Canadian forests, and that's not cool. Americans represent less than 5% of the world's population, but we use 20% of the world's toilet paper, and that's got to stop.
Yes, dude. So those Canadian forests, they're talking about old-growth boreal forests.
Yeah.
And there's a term I saw, the tree-to-toilet pipeline. I saw 27,000 trees a day go down the toilet in the form of toilet paper.
Yuck.
And again, this is mostly old-growth trees. And I guess the toilet paper industry in the United States is like a $6 billion industry from what I saw.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's a lot of, I think each American uses about 40 rolls of toilet paper every year. The average household uses 150. There's a lot of room for improvement. And that's a big, big plus for bidets, that you, even if you still use toilet paper to dry off, you're using so much less than you would without a bidet, that it's you're just saving tons of trees by using a bidet.
That's right. You are using water, but if you've ever used one of these seat attachments or seats like you have, it's not a ton of water. It's not like a bathtub or anything like that, you know?
No, not at all. It's and if you have, you know, the more advanced your bidet is, and it doesn't have to be like the most high-end bidet for this to happen, but I mean, like, pretty quickly as far as technological development goes in the bidet you get, the amount of water is going to be much more efficient than, you know, just like, say, squirting a dishwasher hose up there. I'm just fascinated by that.
It's pretty great.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Well, there you have it, everybody. There's bidets. We told you there was going to be a lot of TMI, and we delivered. And since
That's right.
I said TMI, everybody, it's time for listener mail.
This is from Mary Kerr in Buffalo, New York. Hey, guys. Been listening to Stuff You Should Know for years. It's been my companion on many a morning run, road trip, and just tidying up around the house. I listened to the shorty on 666 And Chuck mentioned his license plate had 666 in there. I thought of the story about my brother Matt. He recently moved to Wisconsin and was at the DMV to change his license plates. The DMV employee handed him his new license plate number, which was 666 MPH. Like 666 miles per hour.
I know. I'd love it.
Not bad. The employee looked at the plates and said, do you want a different number? And he thought about it for a second, and he thought a different number would be best so that he didn't appear to be a speeding Satan lover.
Oh, my.
And so the DMV employee graciously changed out the plates. And I'm not going to read what plate they changed it out for, because it's just now occurring to me that I don't want to out her brother's license plate for some reason.
Oh, that's true. It was Ass Man.
She said, just a silly story I couldn't help but share. Thank you for your knowledge, levity, and distraction that you have provided over the years, especially in this time of stress and uncertainty. And keep doing what you're doing. And that is from Mary in Buffalo, New York.
Nice. Thanks a lot, Mary. Much appreciated. Although I do have to say personally, I'm a little disappointed in your brother, but that's okay because he probably doesn't care.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us like Mary did so you can hear that we're disappointed in your sibling, well, you can send us an email then. Wrap it up, spank it on the bottom, and send it off to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.